This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
First of all, congratulations. You know, it's nice to have a couple new faces at the Score, and not just kidding.
Afternoons on the Score.
The positivity that we see on the actual film, you know, if you actually watch it and, you know, not get into all the emotions of the game, the positivity that we have and the growth that we're, you know, the slow growth that we're having. Yes, we do need to get it going a little bit, you know, more efficiently than we are, you know, but the growth and positivity that we have within the film that we've seen and things like that over these past couple weeks.
That is Caleb Williams earlier today at Hallis Hall. Coming up at 3 o'clock on the Spiegel & Holmes Show, Chris Emma will bring us all the pertinent sound from up there, including some more Caleb and Matt Eberflus on the offensive line in flux. But first, Lawrence Holmes has watched the All-22 and has come to some conclusions about our brand new quarterback. What you got?
Well, specifically inside of the Colts game, because I don't want to globalize this and try to, you know, make it a thing, but just from what I witnessed coming into watching the All-22, I was going, man, I really like how Caleb is working the operation of the offense, that he's getting in and out of the huddle. I think there's a little bit of frustration too with them not getting him the plays quickly enough for him to do what he needs to do.
Speaking of the frustration, do you have a thought on what that moment with him and Kerry Joseph, the quarterback coach, on the sideline?
Yeah, he's like, what are we calling? Yeah. Where you see him and you're like, well, what are we doing? But when I go back and look at what they were doing, and I was like, let me, this first rewatch, like, I just want to focus on him a little bit. I'm more encouraged than I was Sunday night. And Sunday night, I was encouraged. The yards don't matter a lot to me. Like, when people throw yardage stats out there and be like, well, look at how many yards he threw. Some of that was empty calorie stuff. Some of that was a product of them throwing the ball 52 times.
Yeah, there's 45 yards on the Hail Mary as well.
Right. I walk away from this saying, if the young man could have a clean pocket, he's going to hit 95% of those passes. I think that he's definitely, like, when you go back and look at, like, the college scouting reports and what people in the NFL were saying about Caleb Williams, I see what they're talking about, where it's advanced offensive theory with the quarterback. My conclusion, like, if I were writing a thesis statement, it would be he's trying to make this work. He doesn't have to make work the idea of playing the position of quarterback. I think that I hate to say this about, like, a rookie, but I think he's got that part of it down, which is insane. In three games in your rookie season, I think he knows how to play NFL quarterback.
That's interesting. You're talking about processing and looking around the field, reading stuff.
I actually think that his processing speed is faster than what his offensive line can accommodate.
Let's let that sit there for a second. We did hear in all the scouting that his processing was fast, and we have come to know through 40 games what Justin's processing was. And maybe that's getting better, good for him.
It's clearly getting better.
Good for him, and that's fine. But we saw 40 games when it was time to make the decision, and paying Justin was in there. So anyway, yada, yada. Here we are. It has looked impressive, even on TV, to see some of that processing. And there's mistakes, too, as he goes across that first interception. Is like a third or maybe a fourth read, and he shouldn't have made it. But he was looking across, making three or four reads, even on that one.
There was another play where the sack, like, he was trying to get a quick out, and it was covered. and he went to the second read and it was covered. And then he's just like, you know what? I can throw it, but if I throw it, it could go the other way. And he just takes the sack. There's a play early on in the game where they fake the pitch left. Caleb turns back right for the screen on the right side.
Uh-huh.
His execution, I thought, and again, I'm not a quarterback. I'm someone who covered the league for a long time. So please, you can watch for yourself and you can see what I'm talking about.
I remember what you're talking about. Is to DJ?
Yeah, so he fakes it left. And then he goes back right. He is on time. They're on time. Like, DJ's on time. The fake was executed, I think, really well. But if you look at it, Wright and Pryor can't get to their blocks. Now, maybe we know better now that part of the reason is because Darnell Wright was out there hurting a little bit on why he couldn't get there. But the fact that Caleb Williams understood where the ball was going and he was getting it there, it lets me know that it isn't necessarily like a function of him not being able to understand what he's seeing. I think that he sees it so well that the mental picture of what the play is going to look like post-snap is in his mind so well that I think that the rest of the guys are the offensive line. I don't want to say the skill position players, but the offensive line, I don't think at this point with this particular configuration is talented enough to do what it is that they want to do. And that's the other thing that walked away with. We were killing Shane Waldron, and for good reason. The run game stuff, I still have a problem with, but that might also be a function of how bad the offensive line is. Matt Eberflus has had 20 different combinations in 37 games as Bears head coach when it comes to your offensive line. that in itself is problematic. But I'm looking at some of the pass game like concepts, and I go, no, I get it. I get what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they can do it. So to me, this week has got to be about, and it's so weird because ordinarily you're looking at like the offense needs to be slowed down for the quarterback because the quarterback has to catch up to what the offense is doing.
You're talking about now the offensive line speeding up to match the quarterback.
And I think that Shane Waldron now has to take away things that Caleb Williams might be able to do because they can't block it. And that, like, it was both, like, eye-opening and, like, really exciting mm-hmm. and then really sad at the same moment. Because you're like, oh, Caleb can do more.
Well, that,
but he's being a little bit held back by their lack of being able to protect him
mm-hmm.
and to kind of get to where they need to go if they're trying to get plays that are moving outside of the pocket.
That tracks. It's good stuff. And that tracks with what we've heard from some different people. Like even Collinsworth. When Collinsworth is praising what he's seeing from Caleb in terms of the quick game and on the Sunday night and like seeing what the defense is doing before the thing decayed in the second half and he took the bulk of his 36 pressures that he took right there, right? And then Pat Manley said it with us. Pat will be on the show later on today. The next day after that game on this show, Pat said he's already further along than we ever saw Justin get and we ever saw Mitch get. Pat said that after watching game number two, could see this quarterback already be further along at some of that stuff, the quick game stuff, the reads, executing an offense, and just in terms of the basics.
It was really eye-opening. So I'm glad I took Kurt's advice, and I went and watched the tape of it. And I'm sure that people who know better about the game than I do might see it differently. But I ran that theory by a couple of people this morning, and they were like, yeah, that sounds about right with some nuance. Mm-hmm. But it's something to pay attention to going forward. I think that he can do a lot of things with the offense that Shane Waldron wants to run, and I think they have to pair it back, not because of him, but because they can't protect it and they can't run the ball.
To be clear, you had film, right? 16-millimeter film.
I did. I was
that
running
you printed
it back.
Yourself yeah. on a projector, and it went...
Do me a favor and go back and watch that Colts game.
So
I did. I went back and I did all of that
God,
stuff.
God, I don't want to hear that Hungarian voice on this show.
Chris
like
Emma
that.
Is actually here. We are going to talk with him about all of these things. And he's going to give us a report. Big news day at Halas Hall about injuries and whatnot. Chris Emma is going to break it all down for you next. Spiegel and Holmes here with you on The Score.